Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. I still got room to say it, but we're going to cut it short. Folks, we have a special show for you this go-around. The Sleeper Series. We're bringing that back out. We dusted it off. We pulled it out the closet. And it's right here for you. We have a couple. And, you know, here's the thing, Calvin. You'll see some of these guys, they'll say sleeper, and they'll mention a guy from Texas, University of Texas. They'll mention a guy from USC. We don't do that. We go deep. This is shark-type analysis. Let me stop playing. We're going to bring you guys a couple players and girls, a couple players here, a couple prospects that you may not have heard of. But if you watch, you'll see there are definitely some great features in their game. We're going to go to Arkansas State and talk to defensive tackle Kevin Thurman. And then in addition to that, we got Louisiana Tech wide receiver Malik Stanley. So stay tuned for both interviews. Sit back, relax. You may learn a thing or two. But before you do that, make sure you go to Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, rate, review, and most importantly, subscribe. We have all the prospects for you. We try to make it as friendly as possible for you to tune in. So definitely I stay tuned. We'll be right back with our first interview. I want to let that play, but we got more important things to handle. Had to get my guy from Chicago a little intro music, you know what I'm saying? Common, the rapper. We're going to go to Arkansas State, bring in defensive lineman Kevin Thurman. Kevin, what's up, man?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I hope you could appreciate the common goat, you know what I mean, from Chicago. I had to get a little bit of music there.
Always can appreciate Chicago very own. You already know.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get into just some of the things with your game because I know in talking to Rodney and some of the clips that I saw, Rodney, your agent, that is, you have flexibility as far as playing along the defensive line. So tell me a little bit about how you could play zero, how you could play three tech, and even if need be, bump out and five tech as well.
I feel like that. I mean, that's a big part of my game, the fact that I can be versatile, the fact that I can switch from the inside to the outside. I feel like it was something that I always could do since high school. I mean, or like even when I was younger. But when I was younger, I used to play different positions too anyway, so that's cool. But once I got older, like to high school, I was already playing in the middle and the outside because we had a three-man front in high school anyway.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I kind of got a little bit of knowledge on what to do when we switched our defense this year because we switched from a four-man front, in which I played three-tech, and then we switched to a three-man front in the middle of the season around a sixth game after I came back from my injury. So it was something I had to catch back up with real quick. But I feel like it wasn't that big of a learning curve for me, and it was something that I was able to adjust to real quick.
What would you say about your skill set? Well, what is it that allows you to be effective? Because, you know, man, you're inside, man. Like that's the phone booth territory. But then you go out to five tech or even standing up and rushing the passer that way, it's a little bit different. So what is it about you that allows you to bounce back and forth?
So I think it's, like for me, I think it's, I mean, a big thing in my game is my get off and the way I get off the ball and how to, like my speed, my quickness. So I use a lot of that in my game anyway. So like when I transition from the inside to the outside, the only thing I basically had to catch up to is the space. It's the spacing wise. Cause I mean, spacing from inside to outside, inside you expect to, when you get off quick, you expect to hit a move quick.
Yeah.
Cause it's close closer ground, like you're closer to your man.
Yep.
And outside, you're going to take at least, you're going to angle it out most likely, and you're going to probably take at least like 4 to 5 steps, depending on the.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You are kind of angling it to get to the.
The only thing I had to get to. Yeah, you're trying to beat him to the set point, most likely.
Yeah, exactly.
That he's trying to bag back to. So, basically, it was just really just spacing, yeah. It was just spacing for me, and it was really trying to close the spacing as fast as possible on the end rather than, like, in the middle. In the middle, I can probably change some stuff up, you know, and probably go inside, and the outside is different rules. You can't go inside all the time. Cause then you breaking them. Now I'm breaking the outside. I'm breaking the outside, and I can't. You know, risk and somebody hitting outside. That's extra hard job giving away. So, it's a couple different rules from inside to outside, but it wasn't nothing. I mean, it wasn't that much for me to adjust to the fact that I actually did it in high school already. So, I felt like I really didn't have big of a problem adjusting to it. So, that's okay with it. And then on top of that, the fact that I'm so quick off the ball, I only, because I can close, Then, on top of that, they're not expecting for a guy like me being 295 on the end. Because tackles not expecting that much weight on the end. They can't really handle that much power all the time.
Yeah, because you figure –
I feel like.
Tackles, you know, they're normally – especially, you know, going against 3-4, you got outside linebackers coming, and those guys aren't typically 295. So that's a good point there.
Right. You got outside linebackers dropping down the rush on the end. Like they expecting like more speed guys on the end. Somebody just trying to like run past and try to hit a move, something like that. Me, I'm like my first thing is power. That's the first thing I'm thinking on the outside because I know they can't take power. So the first thing I'm gonna set up first, I'm gonna set up with power, and then I'm gonna start hitting speed moves in between that, so it can confuse him. Then he's not gonna know what to do.
How about your hands?
So that's how it helped me. Yeah. My hand is good now. My hand is 100% now. In the middle of the season, after the fourth game, I broke it. That's when I broke it the fourth game. So I actually hurried up and forced the process to go a little bit faster than what it was supposed to be. And they told me I was actually supposed to be out for like 6 weeks. I actually end up only missing 2 weeks, and then we end up having a bye week in between that, so I only end up missing 2 games. But the bye week helped me out to give me some more time to catch back up before the next game came.
So you weren't going to be denied an opportunity to play.
Yeah, like I was, like, and when I heard my hand like the fourth game, they told me I probably wasn't going to be back until like the last game. And my eyes, you know, it's my senior year, so like yeah. I'm thinking like I got to do whatever's possible to get back, like. I don't have time for this. Like, I can't just be out here just missing games.
Right.
So, like, what I did was I talked to my PT lady, and it was cool. We talked about trying to add more days to PT on my PT so I can hurry up and try to get back faster. And there was something that was all up on me and my choice and what I wanted to do because they said, like, before I even played, it's still a possibility that I could have broke it again if I got to hit it too hard. Mm. But I just told him to put a cast on it. And for, like, the next, 3 games, I played with a cast. And then after the next 3 games, I played. Now I took it off. And I just put a plate under my glove.
Did having that hand injury, did that kind of interfere with some of the moves that you wanted to execute?
Of course. There's certain things you can't do after you broke your hand,
yeah.
Especially with a cast. You can't like grab and stuff. And I used to like bull snatch. They like pull down. I can't bull snatch with one hand.
Right.
So it's really hard.
Yeah. Well, what about the tropical bowl? How did that experience go for you?
I thought it was a great experience. It was a fun time meeting new people. Fun time meeting new coaches that coached in the league before, coached in the Canadian League. I felt like that was a great thing to be around. There's a lot of scouts out there watching practice. I feel like it was a great opportunity.
What was some of the feedback you got from them?
So in practice, I felt like I was having really good practices. So that's what made like a lot of scouts start to talk to me. So, like, they just come talk to me after practice and just ask me questions. This is about me, family-wise and stuff like that, trying to get better to know me. So I was just talking to teams after the practice, or when we got to the hotel, I talked to they had us, like, down in the lobby area, they had us talking to the teams. So also I talked to a couple of teams down there, too.
What were some of the things they liked about your game?
They like my get off. They feel like speed wise, like my get off is really good. So it helped me a lot in the middle, getting off and using my power. They said like my they think my power is really good too. Like overall, like they feel like I'm a good D lineman for the inside. I mean, the main thing for me is I love the pass rush, so that's what a lot of people really look at my game. So they look at the speed and me trying to get to the quarterback. That's really the main thing that they love about my game.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say you love the pass rush, but in looking at your numbers, it seems like you love just tackling overall, because you look at this past year, right, 54 tackles.
Yeah.
And 18, yeah. 63. Those are high tackle numbers for a defensive lineman. How are you able to achieve those type of numbers despite playing, you know, a lot on the interior?
So, like – I mean, the way I thought about it was like Aaron Donald was. Like, him in college was crazy. His college test was amazing. So, like, the only thing I could think of was try to hit the same, to either try to get a better stats than Aaron Donald or try to get the same stats. I'm trying to be up there because I'm trying to be one of the greats. Like, I'm trying to be one of the best in the NFL, too. So, at this moment, like, all I can think of is try to have the biggest motor in the league, try to have the biggest motor in college football, and try to get to the ball. That's the only thing I'm thinking. Is get to the ball every single play. Every single play I got to at least be in the camera. I got to at least be somewhere near the ball every single play.
I like that. So what's next for you? Because obviously this whole situation is new for everybody.
Yeah.
You're used to being able to have – well, you would expect it to be able to have visits – pro day, yeah, and those type of things. Mm-hmm. What's next for you? How are you working through this whole uncharted territory?
I can say right now it's like, because, you know, with this virus, it's a lot of unexpected things going on. And it's something we ain't never controlled. And it's something we ain't never seen before. So it's a lot of things that we can't control, and there's a lot of things that we got to go around. But, I mean, in my eyes, I just figured it's all in God's plans. So, I mean, I trust in God to give me where I need to go. So, only thing I can do, I feel like in this situation, is try to work out as much as possible with as much stuff I can with what I got here. And that's why I came back to Arkansas and didn't go to Chicago, because Chicago's locked down. So, you really can't do nothing in Chicago. So.
Wow. Well, yeah. like you said, you control what you can control, and that is the effort that you put into it. It shows on the field. I'm sure you're doing it now. I appreciate you coming on, Kevin. I hope everything works out. You know, I want to see you in the league, man, and I think you will be playing on Sundays. So let's keep in touch, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything.
All right, for sure. Yes, sir. Keeping it going. There's a lot of teams that need to straighten out the wide receiver position. Well, you know what? We got just what you need. Louisiana Tech wide receiver, Malik Stanley. Malik, what's good, man?
What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. It's uncharted territory that we're in, but, you know, you make the best of it, you know?
Yes, sir. Corona draft 2020.
How about it?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit about your game, right? And this is the sleeper series, so obviously, you know, we want to make sure that a light is shown upon your game. And, you know, when we look at you, 6'3", 210, 212, I see some really good features, man. I like how strong you are at the catch point. I like how strong you are after you catch the ball, especially on those slants. We could go to the Miami game, for an example, or even the Southern Miss with the stiff arm. It's pretty clear. You like to catch the ball across the middle and use your size and yards after catch ability. Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm a big physical receiver, like you said. Even at my pro day, I weighed in at 225, so I'm a big guy. I don't, I don't, I like going across the middle. I'm not afraid at all. I mean, I've always looked up to receivers like Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. So that's always been in my MO.
Interesting. So what is it about going across the middle? Why is it so important to accelerate through the catch to get those yards afterwards?
To accelerate through the catch?
Right, rather than – because, you know, some guys, they slow down before they catch that across the middle. But if you want to get that separation, you got to accelerate through it.
Yeah, and that goes for any route. You got to accelerate out of the breaking point. But especially when you come across the middle, you want to be aggressive and physical when you catch that ball. You want to be moving as you catch it and coming back towards the ball and doing all the right things so you can make sure you can make the next move, make a guy miss, and let's go make a play.
What are some of the things that you do to make sure that on game day you are working your way back to the ball, you're accelerating through, and you are aggressive at the catch point?
On game day, I would stay true to me. I don't go out there trying to do too much. I stay within myself. So I don't try to go out there and make a 5-yard catch into a 100-yard touchdown, because sometimes, most of the time, that's not going to happen. I just like to get the ball, make a play, move the change, and let's go. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, for sure. And just to kind of clarify what I meant there, I was talking about leading up to game day. I should have been more clear.
As far as
practice and some of the things to create that habit of doing that on game day.
I think my best way to create good habits on game day is coming to practice with the right mentality, man. Practicing like every play in practice is a game. So I'm taking game reps before a week before a game, 2-3 weeks before a game. So my mind is mentally ready. My body is physically prepared. I'm seeing myself, visualizing myself make these plays leading up before the game is even snapped, the ball is even kicked off.
That's huge, because that's something a lot of people who didn't play the game don't understand how important it is to visualize. I'm glad you mentioned that. I remember back when I played, I used to sit at my locker before games. I would listen to Aaliyah, One in a Million, and I would close my eyes and picture myself making plays. So you are spot on with that one.
Right. That visualizing has always been a big thing for me. Seeing myself make big plays, seeing myself break a tackle, go score, stuff like that. That's always been big for me.
Now, at your size, right, you're not the traditional guy that would line up in the slot, right? Usually when you think of slot receivers, you're thinking of an Adam Humphries type, right? Julian Edelman, short, shifty, those type of guys. But there is there is appeal to moving a guy like yourself inside. I call it a power slot. So for you, you know, playing in a slot, how are you able to use your size, and what type of advantages does that give you as a slot receiver when you have to do that?
What kind of advantages?
Correct.
With me in the slot, I think it's a big advantage. I have a big body on a let's say a DB come into a star or a nickel try to guard me. I'm big enough I can box them out on any type of route. And then when it comes to a linebacker, I'm physically and mentally smarter than linebackers. I can put myself in places and know how to move my body and move them where I want them to create separation when it comes to playing inside at the slot. Definitely a big mismatch.
Yeah, because it's almost like too big for a corner, too shifty and athletic for a linebacker.
Correct.
Advantage you.
Right.
16 yards per catch, 40 receptions, 649 yards, 3 touchdowns. I want to go to the Southern Miss game. I mentioned the stiff arm, but that wasn't the only play that you had. I mean, we're talking about 212 yards, a touchdown, right? 8 receptions. What was it about that game that really allowed you to showcase what you could do to the best?
In that game, we had a receiver. Our my my other starting receiver on the other side, he went down, and we knew that for us to win this game, we had to beat him in the air. We knew it was going to be a big play game, and I knew I had to be the guy to show up. So mentally before the game, I was visualizing everything that was going to happen, the plays that we were going to run, and I could see myself making these plays. And then when I got out there, it was just real natural. So I couldn't even tell you what happened that day, but I was just feeling good.
Yeah, sometimes you hit that zone, and everything you do is right. I could definitely attest to that.
Yes, sir.
Now, what about lining up on the outside? Because I've seen you do that too. Is there a preference, or are you getting any projections on where teams would use you at the next level?
The people in my corner have told me they've heard people want to see me at receiver. People also want to see me at like an H-back kind of
– okay.
Kind of a fullback, but tight end thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I can play that position real well. I feel like I could walk into the – or come into any team and definitely produce in the eighth spot in tight end kind of position. Do I have a problem with playing outside at all? No. I love playing the receiver position split out on the outside. That's my world right there for sure.
Yeah, and
I'm ready to do whatever the team asks.
And it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, that they're looking at you at that H-back role. I remember the Redskins, they got a receiver out of Nebraska by the name of Niles Paul. And he actually stuck around and had some productive seasons doing just exactly what you just covered. So I think that's definitely an opportunity for you. Now, you mentioned you're at 225 now. So that's
yes,
what
sir.
That's 13 pounds heavier than playing weight last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How are you as far as maintaining speed and agility at that with that added weight?
Honestly, I got faster. I'm moving better. I'm in and out of cuts better. I feel healthier. I feel more mobile. I feel way better as a football player, as just an athlete.
So you're putting on that explosive weight, so to speak.
Right, for
yeah,
sure. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely positive weight.
Yeah, good, good. Now, how are you doing? How did you do that? Was it through increasing calorie intake, changing diet, a heavier weight training? What was it?
It was a little bit of everything, honestly. It wasn't the preparations for pro day. We did a lot of heavy reps, heavy weight. We did a lot of that.
Okay.
So that, I feel like that was something that definitely impacted it. But I don't know, man. KB, he's a good man. He knows what he's doing. He got us on the right diet, the right formula, and it works.
Now, were you training in Texas?
I was in Houston, yes, sir.
Okay.
Down at Athlete Connection with KB.
Nice.
Gary Bennett.
Nice. That's good stuff, man. I've seen a number of guys come out of it. I'm sure your guy Rodney Ardoin, I set that up for you.
Oh, yep, for sure.
Yeah, that's what's up. So what's next for you? What are you doing during this this time? I know you said you are working out and staying ready. What are you doing to stay ready? Because I've seen so many unique ways that guys are trying to make sure that they keep it as normal as possible and keep their body in tune for what they're about to encounter.
Yeah, for me, I guess it's a little different coming back to Kansas. You know, the weather's not always great, but when it is, I go out. Me and a couple buddies, we go out to the field and we hit the hill. This is Quentin Heights Hill. It's pretty legendary here in Topeka, Kansas. So we go hit that just to get our conditioning in, and we got some weights and stuff at the house. We get that in. That's pretty much all we can do right now.
So you're just doing it from the muscle, that Rocky workout.
Yeah, yes, sir. Getting out the mud.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Malik, I appreciate you, man. This has definitely been a really good interview. I'm glad we're able to get you on. I've watched you a few times and talked to Rodney about you. So I appreciate you coming on. Definitely wish you the best as you continue to work through the process. Let's keep in touch, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the phone call, man.
No doubt. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right. So that was Malik Stanley. Wanted to make sure that we Gave you guys a look at some prospects that, hey, listen, man, the Titans, they're going to need interior defensive linemen. Kevin Thurman, he's the name that's going to be out there. Me personally, he reminds me of Timmy Jernigan, you know, and he's a guy that excelled in this defense when Dean Pease was with the Ravens as a defensive, as a three technique, he excelled, and a five, actually. So there's a fit there for Kevin Thurman to come. Day three prospect. It's going to be interesting watching how that works. And then Malik Stanley out of Louisiana Tech. Definitely a fit also. You need that guy that's that H-back type. It's funny he mentioned that because Michael Pruitt was signed this past year. They brought him back, and that's the role that he plays. So it'll be interesting just seeing how it all works out. 6'3", 225. Hey, look, that's not a bad body for Derrick Henry to run behind. We'll see what happens, though. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. This has been another one of the Sleeper Series editions. Be sure to stay tuned. As I said, rate, review, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thank you. God bless. Good night.